At this time, please listen to the most powerful men in Canada as they discuss top tech. This week, iPads.
So who bought a new iPad?
Oh, me.
Yeah, not me, but I have an old iPad.
Wait, do you have the old iPad, or do you have the iPad 2, or do you have the new iPad?
No, I have an iPad 2.
I see.
I have an iPad.
I have no problems with the name of it, actually. I'm glad that they've decided they're going to go to generation naming. Not only because it supported my theory that they were going to do this for a while, and that now I feel vindicated, but...
You like being right, I understand.
Oh, God, I love being right. You have no idea. That and being an expert on things, and even being an expert on things that I'm not actually an expert of, that's like the highest... Well, the highest calling I aspire to.
That is the whole basis of this show. So this is why we invited you, is belief in being an expert and actually probably not knowing that much. That's why we're all here.
I've never had an iPad before. I'm having trouble integrating it into my life.
Yeah, well, a tablet is a totally different style of computing. And so if you're used to using a desktop or a laptop to do most of your computing, and then when you're away from that, or you're out somewhere and you're using mobile computing, you're usually the way we've been doing this, and probably a lot of other people, is they use their iPhone or Android phone or whatever they have for their mobile cell phone. And the iPad is this kind of strange middle ground between the two. It takes a little while to figure out how you're going to integrate it into your tech life.
I kind of feel like, because I know how Ian uses his, because Ian's used his for a lot of different stuff. Late Night Dub Fight, which we run as Snap to Chaos Theater, it's one of our entertainment panels. He does the whole thing on his iPad, which basically means he has to show videos and he's recording us. I know that that's something where he's getting some use out of that. I've seen him actually, you know, he can write text and stuff on there too. I don't have any of those needs.
One of the things that I found most useful for me when I first got my iPad was... I realized right away that I should start thinking about what large touch interfaces are really good at and what I could use that for that I couldn't do on my computer or on my iPhone. And the thing that struck me right away that made most obvious sense to me was drawing. So I do a lot of drawing, but that seems to be the most, when I feel that the device is being best utilized is when I'm using the whole touchscreen for something, and drawing is a really good example of that for me. But if you're not really interested in drawing, that might not be a use for you.
Yeah, well, the one thing I do spend an awful lot of time doing is reading stuff, like reading, not books, because I ain't some nerd. I wish I could find some books to pick up, or rather, I feel like I wish I had time to read books or feel like I need to invest myself back into some books. And I work in a library now, so I'm going to find myself doing that. I spend a lot of time reading manga online. I am going to find ways to read manga on my iPad, and I did, so that's good.
Then comics on iPads are amazing, and I imagine the new iPad with its quadruple the pixels of the current iPad is going to be just amazing for looking at comic books. As long as they've been formatted for it.
I was actually just showing that off last night. Just the upper resolution means that you have a better, sharper experience than you did 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I'm finding that everything is so sharp, and I've been reading this stuff on my phone all the time, which is a 4S, and it still has a sharp screen, but geez, like this is, it's intense how close to paper everything looks, except that it's glowing.
This idea of high-resolution screens on all portable devices that are indistinguishable to paper interfaces of magazines and websites that feel really, really crisp, and it's very difficult to see the pixels on them unless you're using a microscope. This kind of experience on a portable device is something that's going to change the way that people use portable devices and think about them. But the size of those tablets, the ability to read really crisp and beautiful graphics, and the amount of battery life you have now is great. But once they can get even further, I think the idea of a magazine will be something of a very strange thing in a few years.
Having bought this, I've never been in a position where I've purchased a computer and felt like, well, now I don't know what to do with it. This is the first time it's happened, because I'm very, very cheap. I make little incremental upgrades to my PC that I have at home. I run Linux on that, and I have it all set up the way I like. And, you know, and I run torrents, and I would read my stuff online and answer my email and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's where you get the work done. So when I bought this, I was saying to myself, okay, I'm taking all of my web reading off of my computer. I'm going to force myself to not do that. I'm going to migrate all my bookmarks off of Linux and put them all into the iPad. And then that way, when I want to read something, I go upstairs and sit in a comfortable place and I can go through all my bookmarks. I can read everything. I've got Flipboard installed on here, which is a magazine thing. We can talk about that another time. It is just going to be a reader for me for the longest time. Johnny, you've owned an iPad too, and so you must have had it for a little while. And Ian, you've had an iPad since the beginning, like when the first one came out. You've kind mm-hmm. of, you've going through the revs. So what has it turned into for you? Because I'm still really new at this.
Well, I want to jump in here right away here, Beach, and say once again, you're doing it wrong.
Thank you.
As usual.
As takes up my personality construct, I continually do everything incorrectly.
Well, it's, yes. What the problem is that your desktop computing experience, it just doesn't buck and jive with what the experience of using an iPad is. You know, when you're running Linux, basically you're stuck with what the computer came with, and then you can download other things to applications to use. But there isn't a big commercial software scene for Linux.
No, but there is a lot of, like, the things that I use Linux for. There's nothing on here that I've other than the torrenting applications, like the one thing that I download torrents to my Drobo. We talked about that already. You don't need a specialized piece of software to read the web. You need a web browser. You know, it's not like, oh, you're on Linux and you can't do that. I'm like, no, I can do that just fine.
No, exactly. But the problem is that what's going on here is that you're limiting yourself to what the iPad comes with. And what it comes with is some pretty nifty stuff. I mean, its mail is okay. The web browser is the best in the mobile business. And I think you get an address book and some maps and some other stuff. Where the iPad shines is in its third-party applications, or at least the installable applications. I mean, the one that I'm still surprised that you don't own is GarageBand. As a musician, that is the most amazing piece of software you can have today, period.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I'm going to be working on this rap song, I need something that can generate beats and do that kind of stuff, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to drop $5 and buy GarageBand.
Oh, but no.
That's all there is to it.
It you can't imagine 4 or 5 years ago, an ecosystem existing where absolutely top-notch software development, the best in the world, software development that didn't exist even, you know, hundreds of thousands of developers, amazing developers that weren't working in the field before, doing their best work for a platform that is a consumer platform that people all over the world have, for prices that it's just remarkably affordable. Imagine the idea of a few years ago getting a top-notch commercially produced music production software that you can take with you anywhere.
And it costs $5.
We live in a golden age of software development right now, not only for new developers that are able to use these really well put together software development tools to make great apps. So you have this huge influx of new and interesting, talented people. But for consumers as well, just this ability to get this amazing software that's super easy to install, super easy to configure and set up for your use and to use on the go, and just so affordable.
There's a reason why Apple runs the campaign. There's an app for that. Because at this point, there's, what, 500,000 apps in the App Store?
The number doesn't even matter at this point.
The number is completely irrelevant.
Exactly.
People talking about the camera can do this, and it has this many megapixels, and the screen is this resolution, the processor's this fast. Those things are pretty much near irrelevant. It's an application platform like no other application platform has existed in the past, I think. As Ian suggested, the power isn't with the software that it comes with, the hardware that it comes with. It's really the environment that is available, these just thousands and thousands of developers that are just making amazing things.
It's a general purpose computing device.
I guess I'll ask the question now. So who is this for and why do they need it? And I guess the one thing to point out is you're getting a general computing device that is also living in a wonderfully curated walled garden. And what that means to anybody who's listening to this is that when you buy any iOS product, but, you know, especially with an iPad, which is meant to be very, you know, put it on your lap and use it, Apple's taking care of a lot of the security concerns and a lot of the installation, uninstallation, and all the background process that go on a more general purpose PC. They've taken all that out and said, we can make this very seamless for you. So I guess one of the answers to that question is, if you're a person who wants to be able to do your email and wants to be able to browse the web and wants to be able to read things, but also wants to be able to use very powerful applications.
Oh, don't get too dangerous in there.
Then we'll start from the one end. If you're somebody who needs a general purpose computer, but you want something that is a lot easier to use, you know, how do I install device drivers, or how do I make sure this is going the right way? Going for an iPad is not a bad idea, because you do get a lot of that. I'll touch this to make this happen. I'll touch this to make that happen. And it is very difficult, not impossible, but it's very difficult to screw it up.
I have a problem when you say things like very powerful applications. Because
yeah, I know. I didn't like that the moment it came out of my mouth. I apologize.
Things like that, and I guess that's the point. You can't get in too deep into the computing aspect. This is not something for a person who wants to design operating systems or code, but for a person who wants to make music or draw or write or read or game.
This is a device for people that would like to do things, and they don't care about the computing environment, the operating system, the steps that go to make the software or the steps that go into making the software work. They just want to find something that they want to do, be able to get it working almost instantaneously, and start doing it. And that's exactly what this does.
You're exactly right, Johnny. There's a reason that there are no logos. There's nothing on the front of this device except a big black screen. Is because you are, when you run an application, or when you running an application, even that's an anachronistic term these days. When you do something on your iPad, you are supposed to forget that you are using a computer. You are just supposed to be doing the thing you're doing, and everything else just gets out of the way.
Yeah, there's no other kind of interface, computer interface around. You are just drawing or making music or whatever.
There are a lot of tablets. So why do I want this? I mean, we all have one, so I know why I want it. But why would somebody want an Apple iPad as opposed to any other tablet that is out on the market?
Who would want a tablet like this as opposed to another type of tablet? People who care more about doing things rather than faffing about with a computer for a computer's sake would want this.
And it's interesting because we're all geeks and we all don't mind faffing about with stuff. But as I mentioned in our last episode, sometimes we just want something that works. We want to be able to do that thing, and we don't want to have to think about all the steps required to make it work on some sort of more complicated device.
And right now, I won't say anything about the future because who knows, but from the time the iPad came out to right now, the best way of doing things, the way with the most option, I mean, you talk about other tablet devices that offer choice. Well, when it comes to doing actual things with your device, the most choices are available on the iPad.
That's what comes out of the thing where I say, you know, there's 500,000 apps. Well, you're obviously not going to use all of them, but because there's a greater pool of applications, there's a better chance you'll find the thing that works for you. It's not a tablet market, it's an iPad market.
Well, and the interesting thing about the Android platform, which is the platform that's closest in consumer sales to the iPad, and it's not one manufacturer, of course, it's many, many different manufacturers. The strength that they give is that ability to sideload applications. So you're not limited by Apple's walled garden, and you're also able to mess around lower levels of the operating system than you would be able to with an iPad, foregoing, of course, the whole idea of the hacked or jailbroken iPad. And that would be a whole other show. But the thing is, as you mentioned, even with that ability to sideload all these different applications, the amount of applications is infinitesimal compared to the actual amount of applications available for the iPad. So you're actually not gaining anything really other than one or two applications that some geeks would really, really want that Apple doesn't want to put on the system.
Well, and actually they probably aren't even there to begin with, because if you look at the general overall quality of the applications on these operating systems, they don't quite match up.
Yeah, and there's a lot of problems with developing for multiple operating systems, and I've read articles very recently from many developers talking about how they're just not bothering with the Android platform for a bunch of different reasons. One, the market share isn't there. Two, they don't like the tools for software development is another. And the third reason is that people on the Android platform aren't as willing to pay for software as they are on the iPad platform. People will pay for good quality applications consistently on the iPad. So that those are three really good reasons.
Right.
But the fourth reason, the interesting reason that I found, was having it developed for two completely different systems, it was just so much extra work that they have a market share that they want with the iPad or the different iOS devices. And the Android market was just too small, partially because people weren't willing to pay, but also partially just because it's a smaller market. And then the work to get it to work on all these different platforms, Android manufacturers, was just way too hard. And the developers just aren't doing it. So you get all these really good, high-quality developers that are just saying, you know what, I'm not going to develop for there. It's much easier and much more profitable for me to develop for the iOS software platform. And you're getting these amazingly well-put-together applications. Well,
I think we should definitely have a chat pretty soon about applications, maybe very soon. But I want to take a stab quickly here to wrap up the talk about the iPad 3, about why someone might want to buy an iPad 3 if this is our recommendation to people.
Yeah.
And it simply comes down to this. Right now, the best tablet experience out there for a general purpose consumer is the iPad. And the iPad 3 is the best iPad to date. Our recommendation, buy.
So, what model do you have?
I have the iPad.
Yeah, I know you have the iPad, but...
No, hold on, let me read off the back here. It is the that's a serial number.
It's the iPad.
There you go. No, it's the iPad A1416.
I have the iPad A1416 as well.
Hey.
All right.
Oh, look at you, tech brothers.
Congratulations, iPad brother. For the most powerful men in Canada, I'm going to wrap this up saying my name is Ian Horner.
I'm Johnny Blakeborough.
And I'm awake. I'm Brendan Beach-Teary.
We'll talk to you next time.